ESPN 1400.
Well, good evening, everybody. We've got another edition of the Laker Hockey Show coming your way live from the Antlers tonight. Bill Crawford, Damon Witten in here right now. I don't see Chris Sable in the house right now, so I will assume that he is tied up with some Sumishigan Hockey Association action, but certainly the Antlers are a great sponsor for this program. We invite everybody listening in to come down and patronize the Antlers. We've got a couple of tables full of fans again. We appreciate them being here. The support's been tremendous this year, and Coach Witten coming off a split at Bowling Green, but that's pretty darn good. Bowling Green's ranked sixth in the country, third place in the WCHA. Lakers go in there, beat them 3-1 on Friday night, played probably as good a first period as you played all season, and that's two games in a row where we could say that, because that first period on Saturday night against Bemidji at home was very good too. And tough luck on Saturday night, and we'll get into details on that, but a split's good at Bowling Green.
Well, and I like what you mentioned there. We talk so much about how important it is to start hockey games, to be ready when that puck drops, and there's two weekends in a row that we really came out ready to play and dictate the pace of play, so really, really pleased with our start there. And, yeah, it was a real strong Friday night for us for sure, and like you said, as we get into details, we'll talk a little bit more about some of the disappointment from Saturday night. Not a game that we should have won, but a game that, you know, maybe we could have won or could have gotten a point from and some missed opportunities. So we'll talk more about that. But yeah, they're a very good team. There's a reason they're ranked where they're at, and, you know, a real good environment to play in too. I thought the fans there, the building was electric, especially Saturday night with the band there. And so a real good weekend for our team, and we continue to grow and get better week in and week out.
Yeah, it's kind of good to see. We've been going to Bowling Green for a long, long time, and for about a 10-year period there, up until about 4 years ago, they were really down. I mean, you could go in that place, and there wouldn't be 1,000 people there, and it seats 5,000, so they were actually thinking of cutting the program. Then they hired Chris Bergeron, and he has really brought it back. He's done a tremendous job there. It's always good. I mean, they're an adversary. You don't want them to win, but when you go in there, it's great to see that they have support and that the game's strong there again.
Yeah, his coach has done a great job down there. And Chris, you know, obviously comes from a Miami program that they built into a national powerhouse. So, yeah, Chris has done a real good job there. You know, you look up and down the roster, there's a lot of young players that are leading that team too, so they're in good shape over the next couple of years, and it'll be a power in the WCHA moving forward. And I think they'll go on to have a real strong finish too. They're built for playoff hockey. I mean, they play with bite and with edge, probably over the line, I think, a little bit too much, but you know, they're really rolling down there. And like you said, the students, the fans are supporting them, and really good to see for Bowling Green and for the WCHA.
Friday night, you get up 2-0 in the first period, just a great start to the game. And we talked pregame. I think the theme that you had going there was we got to match their intensity because they're a first period team. You more than matched them. You outdid them. You should have been ahead about 5-1.
Yeah, some missed opportunities once again. You know, when we start scoring on our best chances, we're going to be a very dangerous team and a real tough out going down, moving forward. But yeah, it was a great start. You know, Perfetto's line, they started right with it. You know, we changed a little bit what we do to counteract what they do. They're very aggressive. The defensemen are always pinching up and biting down on our forwards. So we kind of ran some set face-off plays to try to draw them out of that. And credit to our guys for executing it very well. You know, we did it right off the drop of the puck in the second and third faceoff as well. So really set the tone. And, you know, our guys have done a really good job with the adjustments we've made either in-game or between periods and really asking them to change our execution and what we're doing. And they've taken that very well. So that was very good. And, you know, on our first goal, Bryce Schmidt, it was a good cycle play. Chris Ciotti, you know, real strong weekend. He didn't credit, I don't think he got a assist on the score sheet, but he probably could have or should have. And Ciotti really was a catalyst for us offensively on Friday night. And a real good offensive zone possession play by Schmidt, Ciotti, and Sandler, and Luke found Bryce Schmidt out front in a nice soft spot, and I love Schmidt. He didn't overhandle it. He received it, put a great shot on net, and before their goaltender could get set, it could get set for the shot. We scored our first goal and continued our hot start.
Yeah, it was really good, and cashed in on the chances for the most part in that first game, a 3-1 victory. Shorthanded goal too. Stephen Perfetto in the second period gets one shorthanded. it's almost gotten so that we'd rather be shorthanded than be on the power play.
Yeah, we're a little bit more dangerous. You know, Perf had a great goal and showed his speed, almost totally mirrored Garrett Clement's goal from the period earlier. Garrett had a breakaway goal as well, just absolutely put the afterburners on in a middle drive and had a great pass. I think it was Ciotti who set that one up, and Garrett went in and made a move to his backhand, tucked it five hole. There was Perfetto shorthanded, created a two-on-one. Gus Corrielli made a great saucer pass over to Perf, walking right down the middle. A little fake shot, pulled it to his backhand, tucked it five hole. So two goals that really mirrored each other. And, you know, it's funny, you know, Pete Aubrey does a lot of our penalty kill stuff. And, last year's Mercyhurst team where he was at led the nation in shorthanded goals. I think our team over from west of here in the WCHA, we were, I think, fourth or fifth in the nation in shorthanded goals. So it's something that we really want to continue to be dangerous on and change momentum of a game and be a great team that's shorthanded can also score shorthanded. So it's certainly something we want to do, and our guys executed that well on Friday night.
Yeah, and you wonder if you can score shorthanded goals. We've got a couple so far this season, and Steven Perfetto's had a number of other chances where he just missed on it. You wonder why the power play has so much trouble, but we've talked about that many times. It seems to be a quarterbacking situation. Explain what all that means to the fans.
Well, yeah, it's a little everything. It's on the coaches. It's on the players. I think our makeup of our team, you know, we only have one veteran defenseman that we play on a regular basis, and that's Eric Draplick. And Draplick has a real good role in the power play. He plays a certain role and spot very well, but it's probably not a natural quarterback. You know, up top, you think of a Lidstrom or, you know, whoever it is out there that's very comfortable up top. He can slow the game down. He can make the pass under pressure that he needs to make, and we really lack that. You know, Jimmy Roll shows some signs there, and he's a freshman. You know, it's been an issue all year with their power play, and it was highlighted by Bowling Green. I think they lead the nation in the penalty kill, and they're extremely aggressive. Really like the way they kill, but it puts us under a lot of duress. And without having a guy who can really calm it down and, you know, get guys out of position, it makes it very difficult. So I think we lack some, you know, some guys in that regard. And, you know, we've got to execute better when we get the chance. I thought we had some good looks on one of the 5-on-3s. Really had a tap-in goal. And instead of hitting the net, we went back across the crease with it and missed the net. So, you know, we're creating more. We're doing some things better. But, you know, we need to have a little bit better execution when it's all coming down. You know, even some of the passes, when we do have time and pressure, we don't go tape to tape. We're off kilter. We don't give a soft pass or a tape to tape pass. Our Christmas isn't always good. So, it's an area we need to continue to get much better at.
Yeah, it's a skill thing and it's a quickness thing, as you say. You know, comparing the two games too on Saturday night, we had a lot of chances on the power play and we got power play chances. Had we cashed in on Saturday night with those extra attackers and we had a half minute or 28 seconds or something with a two-man advantage too. In both games we had that. It was about a minute and a half on Friday night, but we had good opportunities. Bryce Schmidt missed one where Domet made a perfect saucer pass to him right on the tape. He did have it in the right position and shot it either over the net or just wide of the net. I thought Perfetto had one. We called it a goal. He had his hands in the air, but the reason he has hands in the air is the defenseman snapped his stick in half, so he had no stick. But it was, we had chances, lots of them on Saturday night, and we're down 3-0, make it 3-1, come back really well, could have tied that game easily.
Well, and that's what we talked about with the guys today. Boy, you know, and I didn't like the offense we gave them. You know, our puck management Friday night was so good. We talked so much about how aggressive their D are pinching, in our D zone coverage, trying to break out pucks in the neutral zone. We wanted to put pucks behind their D. And when we did that, set up foot races. We had probably more odd man rushes on Friday than we've had, you know, in a lot of weekends combined in the first period. So we did a great job of puck management on Friday. Then all of a sudden, Saturday, we got away from it. We couldn't get pucks behind them. They were even more aggressive and they turned pucks over, got us pinned in a little bit. Obviously when you have 6 minutes to kill in the first 10 or 14 minutes of play, that really takes a lot of out of you. And that was something I didn't like at all. I thought it really didn't allow us to get momentum or change momentum. We were constantly killing. We're using our top guys, big minutes. And then at that point, Luke Sandler is tossed from the game. Mitch Nardi left the game with an injury, so all of a sudden you're down to, you know, you're short-staffed up front, and your top guys have logged big minutes, and, you know, it was tough to recover from that, but we did eventually, Bill. We got to it. You mentioned that the Bryce Schmidt, he had a chance to make, actually before that, Garrett Clement was in all alone. Best chance of the first period. He scores, he's in all alone in the goaltender. If he can score, it's a 1-1 game and a whole different complexion. Then it's 3-1. Bryce Schmidt has a tap-in 2-on-1 and just couldn't get good enough wood on it. That's a 3-2 game. So lots of chances. And we showed today after Perfetto's goal, it was late in the second period, about 8 minutes ago. We had four or five grade A chances off after Perfetto's goal. If we score there, it's 3-2 going into the third period with all the momentum on our side and a much different feel to it. So it was really, I don't think we should have won the game, but we had chances to make it a much tighter game and maybe tie it up and make a different game. And then you're feeling really good about a weekend down there.
Yeah, you talked about Luke Sandler too. We'll get into talking a little bit about him. He's a very enigmatic player for this team. You want to love the guy because he plays with that edge and he's a competitor. There's no doubt about it. He's one of the best players on his team, in my opinion. He's only a freshman, but, he gets a little over-exuberant, shall we say, and I think the Nardi injury got him pretty fired up, and he was looking for somebody. He was looking for a little Clint Eastwood vengeance there, and that's not what he needed to do right at that time. He's out of the game, but he's not the kind of kid that, you know, I guess you work with him on it, but he's got to be back in there first chance he gets.
Yeah, well, we'll see. You know, you hurt the team, and there's some guys fighting for that. But and we do love Luke. I mean, Luke has done a great job in fighting his way back to our team. And, you know, you mentioned some of the things we like. He plays heavy. He plays hard. Mm-hmm. I think I just heard just listened to a recap of the preview of Bowling Green, and we talked about it. We need big, strong bodies to play against the way they play, and Luke provides that. So, you know, he's also an emotional player. You mentioned he saw Mitch go down in it. Boy, you know, I thought there was two, three blatant shots, headshots by Bowling Green that they could have easily been tossed on and called 5-minute majors. I didn't love the officiating. Like I said, they play over the line at times. It's part of their makeup, and Luke was trying to give us some of that, but he certainly needs to make better decisions when he does that, how he does that. And even Friday night, we were all over Luke on the bench the last 10 minutes of the game. We said, Luke, we don't want any big hits. Don't give the refs a chance to make a call by a big hit. And but that's what he is. That's who he is. He plays hard. He plays reckless, and that's part of the reason why he's a very good player for us, and it's part of the reason why he gets himself in trouble at times.
Well, he had an assist on Friday night. He did a good job. He moved the puck very well. He had a couple of scoring chances too. He creates some space for himself, and he's pretty quick. He can get around the outside if they give him a step. And I think he's been a pretty effective player when he has been in there this season, but he's cost himself quite a bit of time this year. He does lead this team in penalty minutes, even though he's missed, a dozen games?
Yeah, I didn't realize he led the team, but I knew he was definitely up there. So, yeah, I mean, he brings a lot of value to our program, but he's got to make better decisions and learn to, you know, handle the emotions. And I you know, you mentioned the Mitch Nardi hit, you know, which, you know, could have been a call as well. I thought there was contact to the head, but I also think you put the student section in it, the band into it. It was an amped up environment. I mean, it was one of the better environments we've been in this year, and our bench felt it. Luke, as a freshman, certainly felt it. So, it was good. It was good for our guys to go through that against a good team. And again, you know, we leave that weekend growing and being a better team.
Well, Mitch Nardi going down in the first period, that kind of threw a monkey wrench into the works too, because it takes he and Sandler are out of the lineup. Now you're down to trying to switch lines around, and Mitch is a centerman, so you got to kind of have different people playing in different positions. And it took a little while for that adjustment to be made, but it came around pretty well. Once Perfetto scored that goal in the second period, Game 2 was up for grabs had we cashed in.
Yeah, he said, you know, you got to take advantage of it. But and you saw some of the minutes, you know, Johnson and McKay both kill. So they played big minutes, penalty killing. Now you're down to three centers. So, you know, Macker's a big body, and those minutes showed a little bit. And so guys were a little fatigued. You know, that's one thing I really like about the Clement Corielli, Perfetto pairing or line is they can skate. You know, they can play. They're a little bit undersized kids, so they can play major minutes for you. You know, pretty much every weekend you look at it, they lead our forward group in ice time because they can handle the minutes and they play fast and they play pretty strong as well. So that group's going, and you know, so it gets tough on the bench though. That's a little bit of a chaotic environment. You know, who am I going for? And instead of changing for left winger, all of a sudden you're telling the guy who's double shifting, like, hey, you're taking the third guy. So instead of me saying, I've got the left winger, I'm taking one, I'm taking two. So now you might have a center replacing a left wing. So it gets pretty chaotic out there. And our guys, again, did a pretty good job. Loved our pushback. Loved our chances. You know, the one went right off the post. They reviewed it. It didn't get the goal, but, you know, we were right there. And that's what's disappointing. Again, we could have made that an even better, tighter hockey game. And again, not saying we should have won, but I thought we had chances to tie it up or make it a very interesting game. Again, power play was a big part of not being able to do that. But we were right there against a really good team, and I like that about our team. We're getting better and better.
It was interesting anyway. 3-1 on the road against a sixth-ranked team in the nation, third place in your league. That's pretty good. I think it's pretty safe to say right now that this Laker team is much improved over what it was the first half of the season. And I don't think there's any team up in the standings right now in the WCHA that's looking at a possible playoff matchup and thinking Lake Superior is going to be an easy team to get by.
Well, hopefully, you know, I think that that's changing. And, you know, obviously you look at what Bemidji did. They came in and I thought, you know, we didn't give much up, defensively against Bemidji all weekend. And then they go in to beat a very good Duluth team at the Xcel Energy Center, follow that up beating Mankato, winning the North Star Cup. And, you know, so they're playing great hockey and we're the only team to beat them over the last, I don't know, 10 games or something like that. They played great opponents. So, we're playing, you know, we're really proud of the growth of our team and where we're getting to. Our margin of error is still very small. We've got to be dialed in every night and great defensively, to give ourselves a chance. You know, Gordy Dayfield's a big part of that as well. We haven't talked about him much yet tonight, but, we're getting better and better and we like that. We feel like we're peaking for playoff time and to finish this thing out. And, now we're fighting with, our upcoming games are against teams around us in the standings. So we've got a good chance to make some ground up.
Yeah. Gordy has been just great this season. We keep talking about that. There are some people who keep wanting to see other goalies play. And I like Pete Magariotis as well as anybody, and I think he is probably a capable Division I goaltender. But when you got a guy who's doing as well as Dayfield's been doing, and he's got 3 years of eligibility, you're going to ride that horse. I mean, he's been a horse for this team. He was outstanding Friday night. Saturday, maybe a couple goals he'd like to have back, one in particular in that first period, but he'd be honest about that, and he's done a great job.
He has, you know, and that's what we talk about it every morning. You know, we come in after a game and even, you know, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, who we're playing, and, you know, you want to ride the hot hand, and he's been extremely hot since Christmas. And, you know, part of it too, you're looking at your schedule, knowing we have a bye week. Had we not had a bye week this week, it, you know, Saturday might have been a very good spot to rest Gordy a little bit, get Pete a chance to get in there and see what he can do, but now you've got some time to let him rest and recover and deflate for a little bit. So we rode Gordy a little bit. I would imagine coming out of this, Gordy will get the first nod, and you know, we'll see from there. But Pete continues to get better, and that's healthy. You know, I thought the goals against you mentioned. I thought the first one originally watching it live was a bad goal. Watching it back, it actually hit off one of our defensemen's sticks. And got redeflected last second. So not much he could do. The goal you're talking about is a power play goal. Their power play goal. I thought our penalty kill did a very good job most of the weekend. And even where they scored that goal, you know, we'll give that shot up. It was outside the circle, above the circle, really a non-dangerous shot. And Gordy kind of, you know, dropped his hands for just a split second and Cooper can really shoot the puck. And Gordy knew after the game right away, he knew the mistake he had made and felt bad about that. But he's been so good for us and, you know, chance for us to pick him up, and we weren't able to do that.
You know, there's a lot of questions, too. In fact, I got one today on email from a fan who wanted to know why Gordy Dayfield has 3 years of eligibility, and that's the 21-year-old rule right there that comes into effect NCAA rules.
Yeah, he played after he turned 21 back in junior hockey, he played junior games. And you can do that, but you have to be enrolled full-time to do that. And Gordy, nobody knows the rules. The rule book's so thick. And some junior teams know the rules and can help navigate that a little bit. Some do not. And obviously, Gordy didn't know that at the time. So once he turned 21, he continued to play junior games without being fully enrolled, and that cost him a year of eligibility.
Yeah, we do have players on the team who are close to Gordy in same age, like their birth date's right around then. I think Chatham's one of them's in that book, but Chatham did not play games at the junior level after he turned 21. That he's got 4 years.
Yeah, part of it just we call it a bad birthday, you know,
right.
Before the junior season ends,
it's
turn
in
21.
March or something.
Right. January, February of your 21-year-old year, you got to be careful. If you're March, April, May, you don't have to worry about it. And as most of you know, most teams recruit older players like that. So a lot of the guys are 20 coming in. He's one of the rare ones that had an early birthday and turned 21 before that date.
Okay, we do have Zach Lesh joining us tonight. He'll be in here in the third portion of our program. We'll take a break here right now. We'll come back. I want to tell you, too, that next week this show will be on, but it'll be on WSOO, not ESPN 1400. We'll have Laker basketball next Monday night with Northwood here at home, and Dave John will be on 1400. We'll be over on WSO, and we'll announce that during the week as well. But we will be here. We will have a show next Monday night. We're going to take our first break. We'll be right back with more on the Laker Hockey Show
on ESPN 1400.
Alrighty, we're back at the Antlers, second segment of our show tonight. Again, Zach Lesh is going to join us. He's our player tonight. Getting kind of difficult to get players in here. Most of them have class on Monday night, and the guys we've had on, we had Mitch Nardi, you might remember last week. And speaking of Mitch Nardi, let's talk a little bit about him right now. He's been playing very well this season for you. He was in here last week. He can talk a little bit. He's a pretty good, pretty smart kid. He really got hammered there on Saturday night in that first period. He was looking back for a pass, which you're told never to do in that zone, but coming out of our zone, and he really got lit up by that defenseman who stepped up into him, and he could hardly get up. It took him a few seconds there to get up off one knee and make it back to the bench. He came out, tried one shift, short shifted it, came off. We never saw him again.
Yeah, it was a big hit. Like I said, they play right at that line, if not over the line. And, that wasn't one. They got a little high on him as well. It could have been easily called. I think a lot of times you do see that, but, actually prognosis was good. You know, Mitch had a good day today, with Matt McKelvey. And so we're hoping he won't miss time. We'll know a little bit more in the next day or two. More of a tight back, tight neck type of thing, just the way he got hit, and it was a little bit twisted going into it. So, he's a tough kid. He's a strong kid, and he's been playing good hockey, so it'd be a shame if he misses some time due to an injury, because that line has certainly been very good for us lately. So hopefully Mitch will be okay and not miss any time here.
While we're on injuries, what's the update on Scott Patterson? He's been out for a while now with an upper body injury.
Scott's back on the ice. He's not clear for contact quite yet. We're kind of hopeful he might be ready to go for Saturday as well. We'll see. It'll be real close if he can play Saturday or not, but we're hoping he's ready to go and to give us almost a full contingent if those two can go.
Okay, it is a weekend off for this team, which means other teams can make up some ground. Anchorage could conceivably beat Northern a game or two, and Northern hasn't been playing very well of late. Let's hope Northern gets it together this weekend against Anchorage, but we're going to play a blue-white game, part of a hockey day in Sault Ste. Marie on Saturday at Polar Stadium. That'll be interesting.
Yeah, the feedback's been really good. It's obviously a very historic rink where we got our start, so we're really looking forward to it. And getting back there, and I know it's a staff we are. I'm not sure if our players kind of understand some of the magnitude of it yet or the history of it, but we'll talk to them more about the roots of Laker hockey and where it got started. So it'll be a great environment. A little bit more interaction with your fans and a little bit more intimate setting. And, we're hoping to afterwards we have a chance to do some autographs and meet some fans that maybe we don't get to see quite as much down there, and just really make it a great day and, celebrate Marcus Andury and, the section at Polar that they're renaming in his honor.
Yeah, and that all the proceeds will go there. Is it a donation type thing?
It is. It's a donation to get in, so you can name your donation. It's all the proceeds will be going to the Polar Fund and renaming the section for Marcus. And obviously a big hockey name here and a tragic story here in Sault Ste. Marie. So yeah, it's all for charity and a great day to get out and interact with everybody.
Okay, we've got about 26 guys on this roster right now. How do we come up with two teams for a game on Saturday afternoon?
Well, and another great opportunity. We've got some, former junior players. We've got 3 to 5 guys we're working on joining our team for the day. We'll call it a tryout type event or a walk-on tryout type thing. So they've been out skated a little bit with Coach Mitro and, making sure that they'll be able to be ready for the size and the speed and the physicality a little bit there. And so it's a pretty neat little situation. I think Eddie Bishop's going to try to get them. And so there's a compliance issue there as well. So we're waiting on the compliance for a couple areas to make sure they're cleared to play. And once they are, Eddie Bishop's going to try to get a little bit of interviews with them and get their thoughts of how they feel about it and what they're hoping to get out of it. So it's a unique little situation. And, we've done this at some other schools I've been at, and it works out really well. These kids are really excited to play and, a real special chance to get on this level. I think everybody thinks they can kind of play at this level. We see these kids all the time. Oh, I could do that, or, I'm better than this guy or whatever. And then you get out there and you see the size and the speed and the skill and, they learn a little bit real quick about what it really takes. So it's a cool little experience for them as well.
Yeah, and if you get hit into the boards at Polar Stadium, it's a lot different than getting hit into the boards at the Norris Center.
Our guys will learn quickly. So, you know, we're asking our guys to, you know, there's guys who want in our lineup. There's guys that want a chance on the power play. There's goaltenders who want starts. So, you know, we're putting a lot of weight on this to make sure we're ready to play. And, you know, it's a big evaluation. Coach Aubrey and I will be out of town recruiting here for a couple days. And then I'm going to make sure I'm back Saturday to help Coach Mitro. And I think Rico Fatta's, supposed to come over. I don't know if it's, totally confirmed, but I think, Rico and Rich will run a bench and allow me a chance to, you know, to get around a little bit and observe from a little different angle. But, you know, our players, we've been pretty adamant that this is a chance. You know, you want to play and you want your chance back in the lineup. Well, here you go. Here's a game atmosphere for you to get in and show us what you can do.
Well, that's one of the other things I wanted to ask you about here tonight, too. We've got a fairly solid lineup right now. It's been the same or maybe one or two guys in and out. Pete Spratty got in there on Saturday night at home against Bemidji, did a really good job. And, you know, we've got some pretty good hockey players who aren't able to get in there right now who want that opportunity. One of them's going to join us here in a few minutes tonight who's done a really good job, I think, in converting himself or being converted by the staff from defense to playing up on the left wing. And, you know, Zach Lesh, he'd like to get back in too. It's going to be interesting.
Well, and I, you know, Zach, I can tell you, is a guy that I thought going into BG, we would use him and like him. You know, big body, can handle the way they play, the physicality of that game. Now we're going to Fairbanks, Olympic Sheet. I really like Zach Lesh's skating, and he's a guy I think can help us. You know, and then he got outperformed a little bit by practice by a couple of guys, and that probably cost him, you know, traveling with the team and a chance to play there a little bit. So he's hungry. You know, one thing we've been really amazed with Zach is some of the coaching we've done, his ability to take coaching and apply it instantaneously. You know, you're talking about a guy who's never played forward. We moved him up front and, you know, we asked him to do X, Y, and Z. He can do X and Y right away. And now Z, you know, he needs some reps and some time, but he's been amazing at some of the things he can take and apply to his game right away. Again, he's just got to get comfortable. He needs to get more comfortable with some of the areas offensively and in situations and reads what to do with the puck on a stick. But, you know, we really liked him early on. Then he got injured a little bit, lost his spot a little bit. It's been tough to get him back in, but we do, you know, Ian Miller's healthy and a big sheet once again. He can skate. He's got good puck touches. You know, Nathan Harris brings some power play ability that we really like. And, you know, we'd like to get him a chance and help that power play. We need him to be able to stay healthy when he plays. The chances he's got to play has kind of come away and gotten banged up and not been able to go again. So, we do have some good competition for some spots, and that's a good thing for our team.
I think we've only got 8 games left in this season. We've got a couple of home series, Ferris State right at the end of the season, and a huge home series coming up here, Valentine's weekend, the 13th and 14th with Alabama Huntsville. These are very interesting. You got to go up to play in Fairbanks here a week from this coming weekend, and then we've got to go over to Northern Michigan. Well, the toughest part of our road season, other than Alaska, which is always tough with the flying, et cetera, but it's behind us. Now we're in a situation where we should be able to pick up some points.
Yeah, we talked about that. You know, our mindset can't change. You know, we've got to feel like we're going to North Dakota still, or we're going to Mankato, you know, number one ranked teams. You know, if our mindset varies from that, then I get real worried about our team really quick. But, you know, I like Fairbanks' team. You know, they obviously went through a little skid early when they found out they weren't eligible to play in the playoffs, and they lost some games at that point, but they're a very good team. They've got, you know, some big time players in Perrieco and Morley. Yeah. You know, so they're dangerous. You know, Northern's, like I said, they've hit a little bit of a skid, but they've got great goaltending. Huntsville's got maybe the best goalie in the league, or right up there with anybody in Guerrero. He can steal games single-handedly. So, you know, then you got Mott coming at the end of the year, and we're all fighting for playoff positions and battles. So these are huge games, and I like where we're at. If we continue to play that way, then I like our chances in all these series. But we have to have that fire and that attention to detail to be successful.
Okay, now I was pretty impressed too. I wasn't there, obviously, neither were you. We're on the road with the team, but when Gil Soames' funeral was held on Saturday, 5 or 6 of our players showed up there. The guys who didn't make the trip, they had their Laker jerseys on, and that's pretty impressive, and I think that's very, very good. These kids really didn't know Gil all that well, but they have respect.
Yeah, and, you know, Zach Lesh, you know, he said he's coming in here, and Zach really spearheaded that, and, you know, we didn't want to make it mandatory when we weren't there. You know, those guys have a lot of demands, and so I give them a lot of credit. They knew what the right thing to do was for somebody that bled the, you know, Laker blue and white, blue and gold, and just meant so much to this program. And so, you know, Zach really spearheaded that. I know he had a chance. He went to church with Margie and Gil and got to know them, and, you know, really knew how much they loved this program and what it meant. So Zach, you'll have a chance maybe to talk to him a little bit, but very mature kid, great kid, great in our locker room, and, give him a lot of credit. Obviously, Miller and Harris and Davis and Patterson all went with him, but Zach was really, and Zach's the oldest in that locker room, so he knew Gil the best as well. But, we got a good group of kids who do the right thing most times. You know, kids are kids. Sometimes they make decisions, but, they represent our program well, and we appreciate that from them.
Okay. We're going to take our second break. Zach Lesh is here. We'll get him on to join us for a few minutes and talk to the player from the player's perspective. We'll be right back with more on the Laker Hockey Show on ESPN 1400.
Okay.
To the Antlers Restaurant as the Laker Hockey Show continues with your host Bill Crawford on ESPN 1400.
Okay, we're back at the Antlers, a Monday evening, and always good to be down here. Great crowd on hand again. And moving in with us now is Laker junior Zach Lesh. I was going to say Laker defenseman Zach Lesh, but you've converted from playing defense, and you are attempting to play on the wing, and you've done a pretty good job of it. It's an awfully tough thing to ask somebody who's played defense most of his hockey life to turn around and go play up front. Good thing you can skate.
Right. It's been quite the experience moving up to a forward. It's been fun. Just hopefully can help the team out as much as I can up there. I think our freshman defensemen have done a great job back there, and they continue to grow, and hopefully I can just come in as a forward, bring a little physical presence, and help us up there.
Yeah, you must be, it's tough. I think you were right at the top of the list to make that trip to Bowling Green. They wanted to have the big body in there because BG's got some big people, and you can skate, so that would have been whatever, that didn't happen that way, so you got to regroup. One of the things I'm thankful for, you did stay back, and you did go to Gil Soames' funeral on Saturday. You and, four or five teammates made it there with jerseys on. I thought that was really, really impressive when I heard about it, and you're to be congratulated for that.
Right. It was great to be there with the guys, and myself especially as a junior. Gil ran the door for myself as a freshman, and it's definitely something I wouldn't miss. And, I talked to guys like Dominic Minardo, Kevin Churchman, Kellen Lane, Nick McFarlane. All those guys obviously wish they could be there. Anybody who was ever in that locker room with Gil there, they know how much he means to this program, and especially us as individuals. He definitely meant a lot to us, and he was a great guy.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. I think some of the guys who are on the team now knew Gil in his twilight years there, right at the end of his Laker days, when he would come in and maybe step into the dressing room and say, go get them, boys, and then ringy dingy, he used to say all the time, meaning ring that victory bell, which the guys appreciated. But, you go back, guys like Dominic Minardo and the guys back way back in the 80s and early 90s, they really had an appreciation for what a big part of this team Gil was, because he was integral. He was like the top cheerleader, the top guy, always right there. And Laker hockey fans certainly appreciate him, and I thought it was great when I heard you guys all made it down there to the funeral. Now, you got a tough situation coming up here. You got a weekend off. Doesn't help guys who are trying to get in the lineup, but this blue-white game should be fun for all you guys. You're probably looking forward to that.
Yeah, it's going to be a great experience for the guys. I think it's definitely crucial for us to take advantage of this week off. Kind of prior years, you look back, and Laker hockey kind of had a tough time at the end of the year because we got so tired. We played so many games, and we didn't have many bye weeks, whereas this year we're going to have two coming up before playoffs, and I think that's going to be huge for us. We're going to have good, fresh legs, and hopefully it'll bring us into a long, long playoff season there.
Yeah, and you must, the chance of going to a place like Alaska, you are up on the wing now. You can skate big ice. I would think maybe Zach Lesh might be making that trip up there. And then you've got an old nemesis of this team that plays on big ice at Northern Michigan.
Right, yeah, I mean, two big ice surfaces. We're asked every day to practice like pros, and I think if I practice like a pro every day, have good touches, and just have a good attitude around the rink, I think I'll help myself make the trip, and hopefully I can get on those trips and help this team get 8 points we desperately need.
Yeah, would you say that it's probably the toughest thing about trying to convert and play up front now is that touches and the stick handling and the things you have to do that are totally different in quick circumstances over playing defense?
There's definitely a lot more puck possession as a forward, that's for sure. You got to just be, anywhere you play, you have to be ready to have good puck touches. And especially in practice, you know, you got to have good puck touches. You have them there and it's going to convert to the game. So it's something you can work on day to day. And, I'd say the toughest part about it initially was just getting used to the system and understanding where to be and when to be there. But I think I've taken into that pretty well, and hopefully that can continue.
Yeah, and it's not easy. You're a junior now, and it's difficult to ask people to do that. But, you know, you realize probably the situation, too. We got all these young people playing defense. Most likely it's going to be easier for you to make a switch because you can skate pretty well, and you're a big body up to the front than it is to take one of the freshmen and stick him up there right now. So it's worked out pretty well. How about the hair? What's the story with that? People are always asking what happened to Zach Lesh's long locks. They're long gone. The girls want to know.
Well, I guess it was just kind of time to grow up, and I know it definitely put a smile on Coach Witten's face when the locks came off, and I think we're trying to push a few more guys to get a little trim as well, and we'll see if that happens soon. But it's all right to have it go.
What'd your mom say?
Oh, my mom was thrilled. She was a little upset that I didn't do it the week when we went to Minnesota, because we got home, and the next day I went and got my hair cut.
The Mankato. Yeah, anyway.
Right.
Well, I tell you, it's, you know, a big part of life for all you guys who play college hockey is going to school. It's why you chose this route, to get something that you could fall back on someday if hockey isn't the answer for a career. And how are things going for you? What are you majoring in, and how do you do in school?
I'm a business marketing major, and school's going pretty well. Last semester wasn't my greatest semester. I was right around a 3.0. Previously, I've been around maybe a 3.5 or so. So hopefully I can get that back up. But school's been good. Tougher classes now, so you got to put more time in, and that becomes more of a juggling act with hockey in school, and you got to demand more out of yourself daily.
Yeah, it is a difficult thing, especially as you get up to that junior-senior level. We always talk, when I have you on the air, we always talk about you being a Minnesotan. You're from White Bear Lake, Minnesota. I'm kind of familiar with that area. But how about this past weekend? Were you surprised by Bemidji State winning that North Star tournament?
You know, I was a little surprised. They definitely had a little ambition to get out there and win that tournament after we swept them here in this building. I'm sure the favorite was obviously Mankato going into that. And I'm sure the Gophers probably always consider themselves a favorite. But it's good to see a team in the WCHA win that, though.
Yeah, I thought it was fantastic. And not only that, they beat Duluth, a team from the NCHC, to get to that final. I think we all kind of raised our eyebrows on Friday night. They won 4-0 over Duluth. Then they go out and beat Mankato the next night. That was pretty good.
Yeah, you can't complain about two WCHA teams going at each other for a championship. I think it's pretty awesome. You look at us, we win a tournament out in Florida, they win a tournament, so the WCHA has been doing well in tournament play this year.
Yeah, really good. Let's hope that continues for the final as well. But it is interesting, though, when you come out of the state of Minnesota, everything's the U, everything's Minnesota, Golden Gophers, that's what it's all about, especially in an area where you live or where you grew up. And you left and went and played junior elsewhere, and you've been pretty happy, I think, as a student and an athlete at Lake Superior State.
Yeah, absolutely. It's been great here. You know, every Minnesota kid probably has that dream of growing up and playing for the Gophers. I went to countless Gopher games as a kid, and, you know, I can't complain about being here. I absolutely love it. It's a team full of great guys, and you're not going to make better friends in a place like here.
Yeah, it's smaller, and this is a team that has, we talk about that all the time with the guys when we do that Get to Know Your Lakers with the freshmen and the sophomores, but camaraderie here is pretty good, and you're a junior now, so you're one of the leadership people. It's a solid crew that pretty much gets along all the time.
Yeah, it's really good.
Give or take a practice.
Yeah, every now and then we butt heads, and I think to have a healthy team that gets along well, you're going to have to butt heads. Not every day you're going to get along, and, you know, you're not going to like every guy every day, and if you did, I think that might be unhealthy for your team.
Well, let's hope that it continues to go along those lines. What are you looking forward to here the rest of this season? We got 8 games left in the regular season, a couple weekends off coming up that you mentioned will give you some rest. We got to play hard, but I like our chances to be a playoff team this year.
Yeah, I really like our chances. I think we have 4 more games left at home here that we really need to take advantage of. Today I was in the locker room talking to the seniors, and, you know, they have 4 more games left at home if we can't get ourselves a home playoff bid here. And, you know, you just got to I think it's tough to put that into perspective and realize I'm a junior, but those guys have four more games and, you know, we want to put it on the line for them every game, but especially at home for those guys.
Yeah, it's been interesting too with, you mentioned it when you first came on tonight, all the freshmen playing on defense for this team, but we've got freshmen throughout the lineup and, we got a couple of, guys who, play goal for us who haven't had a lot of experience, but, Gordy Dayfield's been outstanding and I think Pete Magariotis is just there waiting for that chance.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, Gordy's another Minnesota guy, so obviously we love to see Minnesota guys succeed, and Gordy's been great for us, especially this second half. You know, you have to tip your cap off to him. He's got to be around a .95 save percentage his second half of the year, and he's been a great leader for our team, especially as a freshman in net back there, and he's been awesome.
Okay, very good. Zach, thanks for doing this tonight. Thanks for joining us on the Laker Hockey Show. Good luck the rest of the way.
Thank you.
All right, Zach Lesh joining us here tonight on the Laker Hockey Show. We'll take a break. We'll be right back for a final word with the coach on ESPN 1400.
Horton, call Cooper Dental today. Now let's go back to the Antlers Restaurant as the Laker Hockey Show continues with your host Bill Crawford on ESPN 1400.
All right, we're back for the final segment of the show tonight. Bill Crawford joined again by Damon Witten, the head coach of this Laker hockey team that is much improved as this season's gone along. And let's talk for just a second about a number of things here with recruiting, et cetera. But first of all, we got these questions from the fans who are with us tonight, which we're more than happy to deal with. Will Saturday's exhibition game be broadcast? No, it won't. Blue-white game will not be broadcast on any of the Sovereign stations. Our next broadcast will be from up in Fairbanks, Alaska in a couple of weeks' time, and that'll be Bruce Check doing that. We don't make that long trip up there. And our next broadcast, where I'm involved, will be in 3 weeks from this past weekend when we play Huntsville here in Sault Ste. Marie. The Nardi Globe Key Versace line was held to, what, one shot on goal all weekend? I didn't realize they only had one shot on goal, but I know they didn't do a whole heck of a lot. And then Nardi got hurt on Saturday night, so he missed the entire game, more or less. I think he had a couple of shifts before he got hurt. But what's the situation there? Did Bowling Green key on them or what?
Well, yeah, I don't know. I know we showed Saturday morning two great clips of offensive zone possession where Globke made two great passes. I don't remember Bill early in the first period, but Vernacci found a nice soft spot off the offensive zone cycle and fed him. I think one guy got a stick on it. Second one, Dan couldn't bear down. So they did create some good chances. And Dan, like I said, had two really good opportunities to put a good shot on net. I don't know if the one shot's right, but Dan also had a great two-on-one rush where he made a little toe drag. Had a great save. The goalie just got a blocker out of it, a blocker on it. So, you know, their D has great mobility and, they do a good job. They've got good balance in their forward group. So, you know, that at home, they get the matchups and, Saturday, like Bill mentioned, didn't matter. We were so all over the place with our lines because of the injuries and this is, Luke getting kicked out. But, you know, they keyed at them a little bit, certainly Friday night and their mobile D core did a good job.
Did we ever get all the penalties straightened out with Saturday night's game? And I think that's that first period when it was so confusing as to what they were doing. They had Luke Sandler in the penalty box, and then you sent over Daniel Vernacci to sit in the penalty box, but there was only 2 minutes up on the board, and then Connor Cusero was in the box from Bowling Green. There was no time on the board there. There was no announcement made that we could we were trying to figure out what's going on.
So. Yeah, well, and I didn't like it moving forward. So what happened was Luke got the original – I don't think they called it a boarding or checking from behind. Luke got the original penalty. Bowling Green, that player went down. The next player came in, gave Luke a shot. They called that to even it up. Well, Luke, you know, they pushed and shoved a little bit. So they gave Luke an extra 2 minutes for that. So we had the original penalty and then Luke's second penalty and their retaliation were offsetting. So that's why it went to that was wiped. Luke had to serve 4 minutes. Dan went and served the first 2 minutes, could come out. They had a 5-on-4 for 2 minutes. Luke had to stay in the box. I didn't like it. The next thing happened, Luke's next penalty, you know, is 5-minute major. To me, it was a question. The guy was turning. Wasn't a great call originally. Same thing happened. Their guy came in, gave Luke a shot. No even up call. Now I was arguing, well, hey, you just evened it up there. It should have been a 4-on-4 for 2 minutes. Then we had 3 minutes to kill. And so I didn't like that part of it. That's what it was there. They were a little bit all over, but that was probably the right call from the way they saw it. But I don't know why it didn't carry over later on. I thought they had two chances to do that when they retaliated after the original call. Didn't call it, but they did it on us the first time.
Yeah, I thought right out of the gate on Saturday night things were going to be a little bit strange because there was a play right the first play of the game, seconds into it, Bowling Green just shot the puck all the way down the ice, and one of the Hempel brothers waved it off. And it was obviously icing anyway. And then we got the puck and started back up the ice and dumped it in from just got to what I think our defenseman thought was the red line. He was maybe an inch away, and they called it icing. And
yeah,
I thought, this is not a good start.
No, the ref came and apologized, said, I don't know what he was looking at. And, you know, I said, we'll overrule it and fix the call, but they didn't. And then, again, I, you know, like I said, they play at that line or over that line. I thought there was a couple situations during that first period where, and I told the refs, I said, you're letting this thing get out of control. You know, they'll run around pretty recklessly, take charge, get their elbows up. And I thought they had a couple chances to rein it in, and they never did. And, you know, and then we end up on the, you know, certainly they see the next part where Luke gets into it, and we get the short end of it. So it is what it is, and that's why we don't talk about roughing too much.
Yeah, we try not to, but I usually do. What does the team learn from playing against all these top-ranked teams? We've certainly played some really good hockey teams down at Minnesota State, on the road at Bowling Green, and Bemidji's not a bad team either, as they just showed this past weekend. That's certainly helping this team.
Yeah, and at North Dakota. You learn what it takes to be a you know, to get to where you want to go. I mean, you have to go into an environment like North Dakota or into Mankato and match those guys, you know, and we're not trying to just hang around and hope to win a game. We're trying to impose our will and dictate what we want to do. So, you know, I think a lot of people certainly see the growth in our team from the start of the season and kids getting comfortable with what we're trying to do. But you want to play in great environments. You want to play great teams. Obviously to win a championship and to be at the top of the league, you have to be able to play with and beat those teams. So it is a learning curve and it's a progression. And, you know, we can compare our Notre Dame series with our one game versus Notre Dame in Florida. We can compare our first Mankato series with the next series at Mankato and see the growth and see where we're coming. But yeah, just the pace you play with, the compete level you play with, it elevates your program. And we've done a good job getting better in those environments.
Okay, the only other thing we've got is a statement here, which I think we probably all agree with. I know I do. It's great seeing the Laker hockey team improve throughout this year, keep up the great work at getting better, and go Lakers.
Well,
I think
you. That's
pretty good.
Yeah, no, that is good. And like I said, I give a lot of credit to those seniors. Ciotti, Domit, Perfetto have done, this could have gone a lot of different ways without those guys, but that senior leadership group has done a really, really good job of handling that locker room and leading this program forward.
Okay, before we go much further here, and I want to ask about recruiting here in our last few minutes, I want to let everybody know that we do have an interview with Abby Rock that was done by the radio station. It's okay for Sovereign to do that. That interview with the gold medal winning young lady from Sioux Area High School will be on Wednesday morning at about 8:30 on WSOO. That's 12:30 a.m. It's not this ESPN radio, but Mark Sinangelo is going to be doing that, and you can hear that on Wednesday morning. So it can't be involved with a Laker Hockey Show or a Laker Hockey broadcast, but it certainly can be on Sovereign. And don't forget, next week again, this show will be live at 6, but it'll be on WSOO instead of ESPN 1400. Okay, recruiting. It's always fun to talk about recruiting. We got a lot of guys who are signed in. Not all of them are going to come next year. What are the priorities? What does this staff have in mind right now that it needs, not necessarily names, but positions, et cetera, for next season? And then what's the long range plan?
Well, we like where we're at. You know, we're pretty good. We don't lose a lot, as we know. You never know some of the defections or guys leave because they have an opportunity to play pro or guys leave because they're not happy. So you never know that. But we like where we're at. We've got our forwards replaced and a good group coming in, some skill. You look at where they're at, leading their leagues and teams. So we like that. I can't remember if you sent an NLI, but we got a kid in tomorrow. I'm not going to mention his name because I think he signed, but if not, but one of our guys is coming tomorrow who is committed. So that'll be nice to get him in. You know, we talked about on the air after Bowling Green, if we can find an elite power play defenseman, I think that's something we'd have to add if that guy's out there. There's not a whole lot of those guys out there at this point of the game, but maybe there's a coaching change or somebody, you know, decommits or gets pushed back or something like that. So we'll continue to look and see if that elite power play defenseman's out there. And if he is, then we'll try to get in the ball game there. But if not, I think we like where we're at and where we're going. You know, we feel really good about our recruiting class, and Pete and Rich do a fantastic job that way. I mean, they're aggressive, they're relentless, and really, really happy with the job they've done covering all over North America and the guys we got coming in.
Okay, very good. It's another show in the books. Gets easier every week. It's been a great season to this point. Let's hope that continues. blue-white game this Saturday. It'll be about 4 o'clock in the afternoon at Polar Stadium. Get out and see that and donate to the cause. And then a couple weeks from now, the Lakers will be up in Alaska, but we'll talk about that next Monday on WSOO when we have our next edition of the show. I want to thank all the fans for being here tonight. Mark Sinangelo for engineering here. And tonight we had Frank Blissette handling the dials back at the radio station. We thank him and Zach Lesh. And thank you, Damon, for being here again.
Yeah, thank you. We're looking forward to seeing everybody Saturday at the Polar.
All right. That's it for another Laker Hockey Show on ESPN 1400.
Oh, okay. That's it then.
Thanks, Frank. Good job.
Talk to you later, Bill.